Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with a company update from Exelon Resources, traded on the TSX and NYSE under the symbol EXN. I'm chatting with the President and CEO, Brendan Cahill. Now, Brendan, following up on some news that came out April 22nd, we're going to start here as we had some more drill results from the Platosa project in Mexico. There are some nice grades, again, that we saw. Three highlighted numbers here of almost 1,300 grams per ton silver equivalent, over 6.5 meters, almost 1,600 grams per ton silver equivalent, over 4.5 meters, and another drill result, little over 1,000 grams per ton silver equivalent, over almost four and a half meters. This is from underground drilling, all looking at expansion on some of the different zones at this Platosa project. Brendan, bring us all up to speed on what these results now are telling you.
Thanks, Corey. It's kind of like the huge at Platosa. We just continue to hit high grade from underground, and really that's been the history of the project for the 15 years or so that we've mined it. So the interesting thing about these results, though, and we do kind of every month put out, you know, a series of underground results showing our expansion opportunities. The interesting thing about these results, though, is that they are kind of higher up in the mine. That's 6.5 meters at 1,300 silver equivalent in a manto that we call the Guadalupe North Manto. And it was an area that was mined for years, you know, back probably 4 or 5 years ago or so, but ended up being a place that there was a lot of trouble getting into it because of the water that used to be a problem at Platosa. So we're revisiting a number of these areas around the mine that, you know, in the early days of more rudimentary mining or areas that we couldn't get into because of water, we think there may be some more potential there. And, you know, this is the first good drill result to come out of that reassessment of some of these areas. So pretty excited about what comes next.
So what is the follow-up work going to be then? Because water issues was something that has been brought up to us in our past interviews, but now it sounds like you're having, or you have access to some of these other areas that you didn't prior.
Oh yeah, for sure. And really it's kind of areas years ago that we kind of moved on from because there were limitations of being able to get in there. Now it's really just reassessing them geologically. And with the amount of team, the quality of the team that we have now, we can mine more efficiently, more productively, you know, at lower cutoff grades, as well as just getting into these areas that were kind of left behind because the water limited access so much, you know, however many years ago, 5 years ago, before we dried out the mine in 2017. So going forward, it's really just continuing that program, reassessing these areas, you know, sending in the rig or doing, you know, underground mapping to see if there's more potential and getting some easy mineralization ahead of the mine planning over the next few years.
So what sort of depth is the company down to here with some of this underground drilling?
That area there was probably is around 150 meters below surface. The deepest part of the mine right now is around 180 to 200 meters below surface. So these are kind of, you know, well up the mine. We're continuing to drill right at the bottom of the mine and well below the existing infrastructure. The deepest part of the mineralization is around 300 meters below surface. So really a broad horizon to continue infill drilling, finding more mineralization below us. But the interesting thing is this opportunity to find, very high grade mineralization even above us right now as we kind of push out some of the historical footprint of the mine.
So can you explain kind of the balance of the drilling that's ongoing here at Platosa? Is it more focused on resource expansion, or is it focused, and I realize these can kind of be connected, but on adding near-term ounces, near-term mine life to the ongoing mining?
It's really both. And I mean, I think that's one of the, we're working on a number of horizons right now. At Platosa, we're drilling from underground. That's pretty near-term stuff, but it could be, you know, up to a year and a half, 2 years out. But then on surface from Platosa, we're drilling this 1020 target, which is about 250 meters beyond the footprint of the existing deposit. We're starting to see some massive sulfides in there, nothing kind of material or reportable now. But, you know, it is in a structure that's connected to this, what we call the gap zone, which sits below the 623 manto and really hasn't been drilled very effectively from surface. And that creates a big panel of potential let's call it a panel of potential that extends to that 10-20 target 250 meters outside. So it's you know, drilling from underground, dedicated drilling with rigs from underground, as well as drilling from surface, more sporadically trying to pick up this potential extent of the deposit, you know, beyond the footprint, the currently existing footprint.
All right. I'm also going to post that image or figure that is within that news release from April 22nd, so everyone gets a better understanding of where these different zones are and that gap zone. Before we move on from the Platosa project, then, what can you summarize for listeners and investors in terms of the growth potential here that you're seeing at Platosa?
Yeah, it's I'd say, you know, early days yet. We got to do the work. So, you know, rather not make any big prognostications, but it is a mine that's been in operation for 15 years or so, has consistently had kind of 3 to 5 years of mine life ahead of it, just based on where we are in the drilling cycle. So, you know, it does have a long history of continuing to grow resources when you put the work into drilling. But, you know, when we move on to the next thing, it's really, you know, noting the limitations of Platosa. It's a relatively small mine, does 2 to 2.5 million silver equivalent ounces a year, but sits within an 11,000 hectare project that we think has, you know, tremendous growth and new discovery potential. And that's one of the key things we're also focused on in the company.
All right, Brandon, before we move away from Platosa's, what about true exploration? What are the potential here? Or what is the potential here of any new discoveries being made as well?
Yeah, I mean, before we get there, like, there is one other target to point out at Platosa, which is our Jaboncillo target, and that's 11 kilometers to the northwest. So it's almost like it's an entirely different potential deposit in mine and part of our more Platosa's exploration strategy. And there, you know, we've hit, you know, very good former oxidized mineralization up in the hillside, now trying to find the sulfide expression of that part of the system. And as we move down into a setting that's actually very similar to Platosa. So that's going on, as well as, you know, the underground and near mine drilling that we're doing around the mine itself. But, you know, that's quite interesting. I think something to pay attention to over the coming months as we continue to move that program forward.
Okay. So it just sounds like going to be continued mining and exploration going on at Platosa. Let's not forget about the other projects that the company is also exploring at. Let's start in Idaho with the Oakley project and also Kilgore. What updates can you give us here in terms of the work that's going to be done in Idaho?
So Oakley is our kind of junior project, we would say, in Idaho. And that is a project that we're in partnership with Centerra Gold on. Well, they're actually earning into an option on the project, spending up to $7 million over 6 years to earn into up to 70%. Project that we're going to be drilling imminently. Right now, there's a 163,000 ounce inferred deposit there at 0.5 grams per ton. But the interesting thing here, it's you know, another epithermal style gold system in southern Idaho, about 70 kilometers directly west of Liberty Gold's Black Pine project, which, you know, drawing huge attention in recent years. Great work being done by that team, and moving towards a resource, I think, in the coming months or quarters or so. So very excited to move that project forward, see what we get, and really try to expand that resource with all of the work that we've done in coordination, collaboration with Centerra over the past year or so since we acquired Otis Gold. Then in Kilgore, up in eastern Idaho, still moving the permitting process forward there. It's U.S. Forest Service land. We're working on the EA, or the U.S. Forest Service working on the EA to permit the next phase of drilling, aiming to have that by the middle of the year and then start a drill program from there. But I think the really interesting thing at Kilgore that's been happening over the past months, certainly months and quarters, is looking at the high-grade potential. You know, there's drill holes there that sit at the very bottom of the deposit, 95 meters at 4.2 grams, which kind of differentiated this project and Otis from a lot of the other kind of big lower grade gold resources in the western U.S. But once we start really focusing on the structurally controlled high grade there, we see, you know, numerous hits throughout the entire system of 2 to 3 meters at 30 to 60 gram per ton gold. So in this kind of epithermal gold system, you know, similar to Kinross Gold's Round Mountain deposit in northern Nevada, you can find extremely high-grade parts of the system and eventually unlock an underground part of the deposit. So while we, you know, aim to focus on expanding the deposit, that near-surface stuff, we're also looking at that underground potential. It's going to be a priority part of the program once we get drilling there in Q3 of this year.
Okay. So a lot of drilling then that's going to happen in Idaho. Still need to go through a little bit of permitting at Kilgore, but Oakley sounds like that's going to be moving along here pretty quickly as well. Let's also talk about Silver City in Germany. What updates can you give us here? I know last time we chatted, you were very excited to get on the ground there.
Yeah, so great drill program in 2020. Early stages, though, we drilled 16 holes, 3,600 meters. This year's program is going to be much more extensive, really ready to go on that. We should have an outline on what that program looks like over the next few weeks or so, but aiming to start that program in late May of this year, so within this month. And there's two kind of aspects to look at here. You know, we're following up. The first thesis was an area of extensive historical mining up until the late 19th century for high-grade silver. So we're following up on that potential. Had good success on the first part of the program. You know, highlight drill hole there would be half a meter at 1,000 grams silver equivalent by the old Bronsdorf mine. But then we're also looking for buried deposits that just didn't come to surface, didn't stick up out of the ground, so they weren't mined historically. So the key kind of target there amongst the targets we have is Grauerwolf, where we hit 1.3 meters at over 1,000 grams silver equivalent. The really interesting thing about that target is that it's actually on an entirely different geological contact, a mafic schist contact, which, you know, is likely going to host deeper mineralization, but potentially bigger mineralized deposits with drilling, of course. You know, the result that we got there, we only hit it at 100 meters depth, so we're not talking about deep, but maybe less likely that this would have come to surface and have been easily mineable back in the day. So, you know, very excited for this program. Lots of targets to follow up on, you know, based on the old mine thesis, but then we've already demonstrated the opportunity to find new high-grade potential on the new mine or the new contact or the buried thesis that we know really exists on that project. So extremely excited to get drilling this year. Again, you know, start that up within the month and continue, you know, as long as we can into the season, which is probably going to be late November, early December, based on the weather.
So, Brendan, let's just wrap it up here with the general summary, because there's a lot going on in this company. Production, exploration at multiple different projects, as well, the exploration at multiple different projects. What do you want investors to focus on as you move through this busy time? It sounds like it'll continue pretty much to the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we're an exploration company that's got a mine that provides the cash flow to fund these projects and really put us into a situation where we find things that are so big that, you know, we need to do even more drilling. And it's really, this year is all about the drilling. And last year was, you know, obviously we all know, throw your word at it, unprecedented, extremely troublesome, very difficult. You know, but for us, it was really about putting the foundations together of a portfolio that we can really, you know, hit this year and what we think is just, you know, another part of a rising bull market. Certainly with the way silver and gold prices have been consolidating over the past 9 months or so, people are getting a little bit stressed. But, you know, I often think that, you know, look back this time last year, May 1st, silver wasn't even $16. You know, it didn't start moving above 16 until mid-May and then not above 20 until late July. So I think it's a great time to be looking at these exploration plays, at these precious metal plays during what's a lull in the market. I think there's just increasingly value in the market. We are heading into a period of the seasonality where, you know, late June, early July into mid-July, it's just always a time when precious metals really start to move. You can find great value in the market, and it's a great time to be a buyer of stocks at those points in time. We're just really well positioned with all the rigs starting up right now, lots of drilling to come on all of our projects, and it's just going to be about drilling news throughout the year and what we think is going to be, you know, a return to the full bull market cycle over the next little while.
All right, Brendan, really appreciate the update here, buddy. We'll follow up as some more news hits the market, and it sounds like there's going to be a lot of drilling news coming out. So if anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Brendan to address those. In the meantime, Brendan, please keep us up to date on future news, and have a great rest of your week.
Great. Thanks a lot, Corey.